So what do you know for sure? Well, what do you know for sure? Apparently I didn't know the difference between an otter and a muskrat.
Oh boy.
One of the favorite questions I have for some of my kids on the bus. So what'd you learn today? Have you ever asked your kids or grandkids, what'd you learn today? Sierra, what'd you learn in university this year? I don't know. What do you know for sure? What do you know for sure? Is the earth flat or is it round? I'm not getting into that controversy, okay? The color orange. Did you know that there is no other word in the English language that rhymes with orange? Did you know that? What do you know for sure? I know my wife loves me. That's good to know. I know the sun will rise and the sun will set. What do you know for sure? Following Jesus in a way that is intrinsic, deep inside, with sustained motivation and increased resilience. I know that's a lot, but we're going to unpack that. Can only happen as he speaks deep within our hearts. Following Jesus in a way that is intrinsic with sustained motivation and increased resilience can only happen as he speaks deep within our hearts. You look around the news, it's getting a little bit messy out there. Has been for years. It's kind of looking like wars and rumor of wars. What's all going on in the world as we look at, and with TV and the internet, we can see news from all over the world, which we actually didn't have 20 years ago. We couldn't see everything, and now we're almost overwhelmed with the amount of news and tragedy and wars and conflict and poverty and human slavery and all of that. It's overwhelming. Even when we bring it home to us in our own lives, how do we keep going? How do we keep going, really, when the rubber hits the road? In order to follow Jesus, we have to have that intrinsic stuff going on in here. And I love that word, stuff. Like, it includes all kinds of things in there. So that we have a sustained motivation. We get up in the morning and go, okay, I'm overwhelmed, I didn't get a good sleep, or whatever it was, or I'm looking ahead to the day. There's something that's going on inside here with that motivation that I'm going to get up and I'm going to take the next step or the first step. And that increased resilience, that strength, that courage to keep going through the day and look ahead into the week. And can only happen as Jesus speaks deep within our hearts. Now we're continuing on here in 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to camp on one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And the Apostle Paul is writing, he goes, "And so we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words that we spoke, that we preached, that we taught. We didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You actually accepted what we said as the very word of God. The very word of God, the logos of God. Which, of course, it is. He's emphasizing a punctuation, exclamation point there. Which, of course, it is. And this word, this logos word, this word that we have, they have the Old Testament, and as we now have the whole Bible, and I'm going to talk about that more next week, about the Bible and how it came to be and how we can actually trust this book. And this word continues to work. This word continues to work in you who believe. me read it one more time, follow along. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words with mere human ideas. You actually accepted what we said as the very word of God, of course, which it is. It is. And that word continues to work in you who believe. Now, if you remember earlier in chapter 1, it talks about when he's writing, the Apostle Paul is writing, he goes, we don't need to tell other people about what's been going on in your life and how your testimony, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned from idols to serve the living and true God. They move from following idols, things that they could see, things they could touch, but they're only idols. And they move to follow a living God. How, like, when I read this, I go, how does that work? My neighbor in Winnipeg is Hindu. That's their religion. I was driving with a bus driver the other day, and she is from a Sikh religion. You look around in your neighbors, yes, even in Rosenort, and other places, people have all kinds of different beliefs. How do you know that we're right? That what we believe is actually true? How did those believers in Thessalonica move from following idols to actually follow the living God? It's not just a head thing. Because I could go to a couple of my neighbors. You could go to a couple of your neighbors and friends and go, you really need to believe in Jesus. Okay. How does that change? It's interesting when you follow the Apostle Paul. When he left Thessalonica, he was pushed out because of the opposition. And so they pushed him out and he went to Berea. And there were really good people there that were reading the scriptures and they were following him and testing what he was preaching on. And then the heat turned up there and then they sent him off to Athens by himself. In Acts chapter 17, it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He's walking around Athens. Das, you've been there, I'm sure. All the idols everywhere. All, notice, all and everywhere. The whole city. And he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the other God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square. And it goes on, and he's given an audience, all kinds of people there. Hey, this is something new. We need to listen to him. And he says, one of your altars has this inscription on it. To the unknown God, this God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. And his purpose was for the nations, all of you, to seek after God and perhaps feel their way. The NLT version says, feel their way. The NIV says, reach. Why would they do that? Why would these people who are following all these idols in Athens, why would they want to feel towards God? Why would they want to reach toward God? They've got a plethora of idols that they could pick any one or a few to follow. Why follow God? Why follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do I follow Jesus? Now, for most of us, we grew up this way. But we know around the world, people are turning left, right, and center towards Jesus from other religions, from other idols. What are some idols today? Shut it up. What are some idols? I know there's, well, yeah, phones. I was going to say Canadian Idol and American Idol. But what are some idols? Phone is an idol. What are some other idols that we follow?
Can,
sorry?
Actors
and actresses, yes. Celebrities. What else? What are some other idols that we can follow in 2024? That we can look towards and we can receive comfort from, we can receive encouragement from, we can meet us?
Political figures.
Political figures. A lot of us look towards different figures. Other idols. Cheesies, Hawkins cheesies. They're my favorite. And sometimes when I just need a little pick-me-up, I'll grab a small, big bag and chips. I tried the Co-op chips the other day. They're actually really good. They're really, like really, not just because we're renting this place from the Co-op, they're really good chips. You should get 8 for $10, 8 bags. Almost polished off one, well, half of it. Other item, the Jets. Many of you tonight at 6:30 will be worshiping at that one-eyed machine. I guess we're out of here now, Judy. Let's move somewhere else. We're done. Oh, the idols. Now, what changed their minds? Now, remember, 1 Thessalonians was one of the first books that Paul wrote. And then he goes through Athens. But then if you go to the book of Romans, and this I find fascinating, written a number of years later. So no doubt the Apostle Paul is thinking through Thessalonica. He's thinking through Athens. And he's wondering, how was it that people actually followed God? And you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The message, put it up there, Liam. Okay, in fact, yes. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. In the NIV, the word message says the word. The word. Now, before I said the word logos, which is the written word, this word here is actually rhema. R-H-E-M-A. It's a spoken word. I'm going to get into that, but keep that in mind. The message is very close at hand. It's on your lips. It's in your heart. And that message is the very word or message or rhema about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Most of us didn't become Christians just because we believed the truth and go, well, that's right. That's true, so I need to believe it. There's something deeper that goes on, and the Apostle Paul is writing about that here. The rhema word is very close at heart. It's on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very rhema word about faith that we preach. What it means, it's an utterance. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that causes us to feel it, to reach for it, and to understand it's different than just in the mind. And it's different than the pizza we had the night before. It's a deepness in our heart, that utterance that the Holy Spirit gives. And that is what Paul is writing has made the difference. How did they turn from idols to following the living God? There was something that deep into their heart said, "This is true, you should believe it." And I believe every one of us at some point and numerous points in our lives would have come to that realization that what I believe up here is actually true right here. That's what keeps you going. That's that motivation, that intrinsic inside, that motivation and that resilience that keeps going. I think often about the persecuted Christians around the world. And as they're sitting in jail or they're being persecuted by their neighbors, just, and doctrine is important, absolutely. Doctrine is important, but it isn't just the doctrine that's going to keep a persecuted Christian following Jesus. It's going to be when they're meeting with Jesus in the cold, dark cell, and they're on their knees, or they're sitting down, or they're prostrate on the ground saying, "Jesus, I need you here." And he's meeting them in here. Their beliefs, their truth, their doctrines become in the heart. And that's what you and I need if we're going to continue our faith. The world is getting more difficult, if you haven't already noticed. Jesus is coming, probably sooner than we realize. It's going to get darker. It's going to get harder. How do we keep going? We just came through a pandemic, and how many people have just walked away in some of those difficulties? They weren't in touch. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that there's something missing in here. That's what the Apostle Paul is writing here. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are all the same in this respect, and they have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. Now, think of that word generously. What does that say to you? When you hear the word generous, what do you hear?
Above and beyond.
Above and beyond. But when we hear often, and we hear generous, we hear about money or possessions. And some people would turn around, "Oh yeah, all who follow God, God will bless you and bless you with material." But that's not what he's saying. He's saying exactly what you're saying, Corinne. They have the same Lord who gives generously. He gives to you the hope. He gives to you the strength. He gives you all the spiritual fortitude and resilience that you need as you're calling on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can follow him because he's meeting us. He's meeting you and encouraging. This logos and rhema word, it's very important as we think about that. When you're having your quiet time and you're sitting down with your Bible and you're reading, have you had those moments where all of a sudden something just jumps out at you? Some of you can nod, right? It jumps out at you and you're going, "Oh, that was the logos word being turned into a rhema word that means something to you." Many of us would have theme verses, verses that we just follow. "For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Philippians 1 verse 6 is my key verse. That's just not a nice verse to memorize. It's a verse that God has taken and really put into my heart, a rhema word into my heart. Some of you have verses like that. How the Word of God, just written, can become so special here. You're going through a difficult time, and all of a sudden, a word comes to you, a Bible verse, a song, a memory of God where he's met you in the past. All these different things come to you and go, "I'm with you," God says. Can you see it? Can you feel it? "I have been with you. I'll be with you right now in this time." That's that rhema word where God speaks into us. Now, understand that anything we get, and I'll be talking about this in fall. I'm going to take us through a seminar called Hearing God. We'll talk more about this. But understand that nothing we get that hits us personally will contradict this. All of a sudden, I'm having my devotions. Yeah, you should leave your wife. No, that's not God speaking to me at all. Yeah, don't worry about the speed limits. Go 100 kilometers. I'm surprised. River Road here? 80 kilometers. We were driving into town, nice welcome, on Friday with my truck and trailer, and we were driving down, and I was doing 50, so I thought that's what it was. Right past me. That road is getting busy. Maybe the reeve of the R.M. Morrison is talking about that. When you sense something that goes against the Word of God, we'll talk about it more in fall, but anything that you sense you need to do goes against the Word of God, no. No. Why do you believe in Jesus? It comes down to your heart. That's why you keep coming back. You believe in Jesus. You're following Him. He's calling you. He's inviting you deeper and deeper into this relationship. How do you know for sure? What do you know for sure? I know that Jesus is in my heart. I know that He loves me. He loves you. He loves all of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received His message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very Word of God, which of course it is. And this Word continues to work in you who believe. Romans chapter 10, verse 20. A little further on. Oh, wrong place. There we go. It says, and Paul is writing here, and later Isaiah spoke boldly for God. The prophet Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by God, quote, I was found by God, no, sorry, I was found by people, God, the back. Okay, Isaiah is saying, he's quoting God, and God says, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. God is saying, you and I weren't necessarily looking for God. Probably weren't. He says, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. I think back at the age of 12 when I invited Jesus into my heart at Daybreak Point Bible Camp. All of a sudden it clicked for me. I actually need Jesus. I didn't realize that. I wasn't looking for Him. But that realization that I needed Him in my life. Have you come to a point somewhere in your life where you realize, I really need God? I didn't know I needed God. I wasn't looking for God. but I needed him. That has made all the difference in my life. Through all the different difficulties, through all the different experiences in my life, that intrinsic right in here. So ask yourself, have you met Jesus? Right in here. Have you invited him in? Have you said a prayer of something similar to, Jesus, I need you. I realize that now. I didn't know I needed you. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Come and live inside me. I want to live for you. I want you to help me. I need you to help me because this world is out of control and I don't know what I'm doing. Would you help me? Would you help me? And Jesus would say, absolutely. I will come in and make my home in your heart. He'll do that. Have you done that? If you're not sure, come talk to me or somebody that you know and we can help you. Make sure. Maybe you've wandered a little bit. We can help you. We can help you come back to it. Application and reflection. Place yourself where you can hear and read the Word of God. Where can you do that? Well, I've been pushing us to read through the Immersion Reading Bible, the NLT version. You can use this, any Bible, but read. Can you place yourself each morning, each evening, morning, if you're a morning person or evening person, you read every day, place yourself right there. Making a commitment to come to church. I know sometimes in 2024, church seems like an option. What's the regular attendance of Christians across Canada is twice a month. That's what's considered regular in Canada, twice a month. That's not really placing yourself to hear and to apply the Word of God in your life. You come here. Some of you need to go to Bible college. Any age, but some of you maybe need to go to Bible college, just like I did. Transform my life. I got to meet Judy at Bible college too, but it transformed my life. Some of you need to go to Bible college. Some of you need to pick up some different seminars. We have a couple of colleges close by, Steinbeck Bible College for one, that have different seminars that you can take. Ask yourself, what idol do I need to get rid of? When you think of an idol in your life, ask God, what's an idol I need to get rid of? And then a really cool song, I think this song is about 20 years old now. If you search on YouTube, you can find the band Mercy Me, and they have a really powerful song called Word of God Speak. I've listened to that a number of times over the years. I'm going to do it this week. Every morning as I start my quiet time, I'm going to listen to this song. Word of God, speak. Very powerful song. Todd, do you want to come up? I'm going to close in prayer. Let's stand together. Close your eyes and just be quiet. Well, you've been amazingly quiet, but just to be quiet a little bit longer. Lord Jesus, as we stand as your church, as we stand as your people, is there something you want to say to us? Something you want to encourage us with? to tell us how much you love us. What would you say, Jesus? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are a living God. A living God. You're not a dead idol. You live. And as the Apostle Paul said to the people in Athens, we move and we live in you, God. I pray, Jesus, that you will continue to speak to us every time we open up your word. Every time we gather together, that you would speak to us and encourage us. Because we need your Logos word, we need your Rhema word. Give us courage, strength, resilience to continue living for you. And we say this in the name of Jesus. Pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.